£200,000 of funding for the West Belfast Festival has been put on hold after councillors raised concerns about how the money was awarded. Funding has also been put on hold for two other festivals. Féile an Phobail is one of the most successful and well-established festivals in Northern Ireland. It's been going for 30 years. It attracts some major names. But does it get too much funding? Or is it worth every single penny? The Ulster Unionist Party councillor Chris McGimsey with us this morning. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the Labour Party member Phil Kelly. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. So what's the concern, Chris?
Well, the concern is that Sinn Féin are always pushing for additional funding to the West Belfast Festival. Now, we fund it, it is well funded, but always looking more and more. And it's at the stage now, they seem to forget that we have a finite amount of money to give to things like the arts. And Féile is now gobbling up so much money. I was approached yesterday by an arts group who simply will probably not get any funding because there'll be no funding available because the Féile an Phobail is gobbling up so much of the money. It's a good organisation. It's a good festival, and it needs funded and supported. And Belfast has liberally supported it, but now it's getting to the stage that it's just demanding too much, and as such, it's actually diminishing the chance of expanding the arts in other parts of the city, and that's the major difficulty.
But surely you put the money with the big festival that is established, that there's no risk, and therefore you're guaranteed success, no?
Well, you do that, Stephen, but you also have to have seed funding, and you also have to have considerable funding for some smaller festivals. I mean, East Belfast Arts Festival gets very little in comparison to Féile an Phobail, and you've got to try and get a balance. This is about getting the balance right. I mean, Sinn Féin see a large amount of money required for Féile an Phobail to do various things. They don't seem to think, hold on, this is coming out of this is ratepayers' money. It's coming out of a finite pot. And the more we gobble up, the less goes around for everybody else. And that's what the concern is. It's now outgrown. And to the extent that they're looking to expand and expand it still further, I mean, eventually you'll end up with very little else in the city but Féile an Phobail, because nobody else will be able to get funding.
Phil Kelly?
Well, what an argument against having ambition for a grassroots working class community festival that is not just the jewel in Belfast cultural calendar, but it is a worldwide renowned festival. It has evolved over the last couple of decades and grown in scope. And really, you know, I've huge arguments over the way Belfast is developing centered around tourism. We've seen hotels are flying up everywhere while there's huge social problems. But if you really want to attract visitors, then it strikes me that jewel in the crown, that West Belfast Festival, is one of the main things you should be supporting. And
at the expense of others, meaning that other festivals can't get off the ground.
Because I don't.
Well, there's a finite amount of money, so
no,
that's
well,
the call, isn't it?
I disagree with that, and you know my politics would always disagree with that. That there's no shortage of money in society. It's where the money is the problem.
Yeah, but the real situation at the moment is that there is a finite pool for this type of funding.
And what I would say, Stephen, is the West Belfast Festival, in comparison to other festivals, which are centred around small middle class expressions with no legacy, no long-term legacy. So if you look at stuff like even the European Cities of Culture, I remember when Derry was awarded that, there was business leaders who were putting out literature which was advertising Derry, putting it in the shop window as a centre of low-wage workers, so there's a kind of a real corporate angle to that, whereas the West Belfast Festival really retains strong community links, and it is political, it's cultural, there's literature, music, it's astonishing, and we should all be supporting it, because it is the jewel in the crown.
Chris?
Pardon the expression.
Stephen, that's very well. I don't disagree with much of what Phil says there. But the thing about it is you have to get a balance, and there has to be a balance between giving the large amounts of money to Féile an Phobail and the other groups. And I must say the arts industry, if you like, or the arts endeavours in Belfast, they're not middle class at all. That's nonsense. East Belfast Festival is not a middle class operation. It's a It's a community festival, and the other communities.
What is it, these Belfast festival? I've never gone to any of it. I don't go to these things. But what's in it? If it's not middle class, what happens at it?
It's a similar sort of stuff. There'll be plays, be music, there'll be discussions, there'll be political stuff. The same sort of stuff that happens in the West Belfast festival. Similar types of events. Any of the events that Phil talks about, which are
why is it needed if the West Belfast festival is already doing it then?
Well, nobody. You can't just allocate everything to West Belfast and leave East Belfast suffering.
Why not? Why could West Belfast Festival not be seen for a festival for everybody?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, they have actually tried having one or two events on the Shankill to try and take the bad look off it, but it's basically...
Let me agree with you there.
It's basically a nationalist festival I have no problem with the concept of West Belfast Festival, nor I think people need to look up over the last number of years, nor the hundreds and hundreds of thousands that we have poured into it. But it's got to the stage now, enough is enough, and we have to funding into other parts of the city.
Couple of points there. One, don't try and paint the West Belfast Festival as parochial. It's not. It's it has an international edge to it, which is unrivaled.
Just when you're saying that, that's the West Belfast Festival from memory. Weren't we covering that last year when there were accusations of pro-IRA chants at it?
Look, you know...
Is that the international cross-community festival you're talking about?
You're not going to condemn a whole festival for what a couple of revelers sing, which they could sing any Friday night, you know, and you can hear those chants in the Holy Lands or wherever, so let's not engage in that. And also...
That wasn't the problem, Phil. The problem was that Stephen's referring to was the event in Falls Park, where they brought the Wolf Tones up to sing IRA songs and Republican songs.
That's what Stephen's
talking about, and that's a concern.
I think you know what they expect when the Wolf Tones are on the stage. So, you know, real pearl-touching outrage. But what I would say as well, I've never argued and wouldn't argue not to fund working-class community-based festivals like in East Belfast. I wouldn't argue against it. What I'm arguing against is don't fund these kind of things that are foisted from above, that land in the cathedral quarter where people go and look at fire jugglers with no context, no legacy at all. You know, support the cultural expression of working-class communities and it will enrich the city rather than this whole...
So you would rather support the Wolf Tones than a fire juggler, would you?
Well, let me say this, Stephen. I grew up in East Belfast and I travelled from East Belfast over many years to attend many events at the West Belfast Festival without any problem. I've met, you know, people from around the world. I've heard engaging political speakers. I've been enriched by it. So this idea that it's a closed-off, ghettoized community is nonsense, and it shouldn't be portrayed in that way. And we grew up in the 80s when the people of West Belfast were demonized, utterly demonized, you know, who were stuck in the middle of a raging conflict, and they were portrayed as monsters, as beasts, as horrible people. And I pay credit to that festival for showing that community for what it is, which is diverse.
Okay. But the reason why we're covering the story this morning, and the reason why some councillors have raised concerns about this, and therefore it's valid for debate, you know, 200 grand in anybody's book, Phil, is a lot of money. £200,000 of funding. Why could this festival not be self-sustaining? Why could it not be self-funding? In other words, it pays its way through tickets. If it's going 30 years and it's well-established, does it really merit 200 grand of public money?
Well, look, Stephen, look at the money.
And that's £200,000 extra. It gets more than that.
Look at the people it's bringing in to a deprived, you know, what is a deprived area with social problems, and it's bringing lots of visitors into that area who are spending money, who are socialising in that area. That is how you develop Belfast. That is how you change Belfast, rather than the gentrification that we see some people in local council supporting of, you know, hedge funds and speculators coming over to try and remodel Belfast in an image they want. Why not support working class, marginalised areas and give them money, bring in visitors to that area, get people spending money in that area in Belfast instead of always trying to rebrand the cathedral quarter as some kind of cultural hub?
Stephen, Phil misses the point. There are working class communities and there are viable arts groups trying to work in throughout the city. And I'm not talking only about union affairs, throughout the city. Which are not getting funding because there is an imbalance. Now, nobody is condemning. I mean, I have not condemned the West Belfast Festival. All I'm saying is that it really has got the lion's share of funding, enormous funding, compared to, for an example, the East Belfast Arts Festival. And what we need to do is try and be even-handed and try and make sure that the money is spread. You see, the thing about it is, Phil makes a point about developers developing the city. These big guys come in and they have the ability to acquire money from wherever they get them, from hedge funds or banks or whatever, and do things. And other developers, smaller developers, don't have that access to that sort of power. It's the same in the Arts Festival. There are groups in Belfast who have the know-how, and they know exactly what buttons to push to try and get as much money as possible. And what I'm saying is that Fela and Fobel is a classic example. It knows how to touch all of the various touchstones. And
yeah, how is it decided, though? I wonder how it's decided as to who gets the money and how much they get. I'd like to know the mechanism behind this. The Alliance Councillor, Sian O'Neill. Sian, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Can you help me with that question? Like, so how is it decided? Who decides whether it's 200 grand, 300 grand, half a mil? Who decides it?
Stephen, at the minute, that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. So at the City Growth and Regeneration Committee, I felt that wasn't clear. It wasn't clear how the amount of money that was requested had been justified. Was there an application process where Fela and other festivals, I just need to make that point, this is not just about one festival. For me, it's about the process. So we had been asking, how have those sums of money come to be and come to be on a paper that we recommended to do a lot, that those certain amounts of money?
Well, who comes up with the money? You must understand, who comes up with a figure?
That's what I'm asking, Stephen. I want to know how that figure comes on the paper, because right now...
Well, who writes it in? Who puts it down?
That's what I'm saying, Stephen. At the minute, I'm unclear about whether it's the organisation that informs Belfast City Council or certain councillors that they need X amount of money, or whether it's that the council decides they have this pot of money and that's how they're going to allocate it. And that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for clear answers about how those sums of money have been arrived at.
Stephen, an application will come into council for, say, 200, 300, 400,000. It's written up and it's put before a committee which takes a decision on this. What was said? So Sian's quite right. It's quite right in what she says. But I mean, our officers then assess these and they make various recommendations. But the difficulty is that, as I say, the Fela and Fobel have it down to a fine art, and they have been getting so much money. Nobody wants to curtail Fela and Fobel. But, I mean, they're now actually getting so much money that other arts festivals and other arts organisations in the community, mostly in working-class districts, this talk, Phil, about people coming in with to look at fire jugglers, most of these are working-class organisations throughout the city, and they're not, and not just in unionist areas, they're not getting their fair crack, because Fela has been swallowing up so much of it. And
Chris,
all I'm saying is we need to try and ensure that the balance is correct between continuing to support Fela, which we have done, we've given them millions over the years, which we have done over the last 30 years, and also have enough money there to ensure that we can help.
Two points on that. Any regular listener to this show will fully support any politician here who argues for more transparency in how money is allocated to many different groups, organisations or events. And I fully support that. We need much, much more open transparency in how our politics works. When Fela receives money, it tends to make it a success out of it, because the festival just gets bigger and bigger and more popular. But let's not fall into the argument of arguing over a small pot and saying it needs to be divided up ever smaller. Instead of that, let's argue that arts and cultural events need proper funding, and the funding shouldn't be diminished, especially for a city that wants to pitch itself as globally renowned. If that's the future that Belfast is projecting, as a city that can attract global visitors, that is open, that is inclusive, let's not cut the arts, because that seems to me that we're cutting off the future. Let's argue for more funding for such events, wherever they may be in the city.
Sian?
No, I absolutely agree with what Phil's saying. We've been saying all along that we need a long-term strategic approach at arts and cultural funding. And I think there's a point being missed here, that when you look at the arts and culture through this prism of green versus orange, and it's a one for me, one for you, divvying up of cultural festivals and cultural money, we lose sight of what arts and culture is actually about. So we have all of these events and festivals who don't pertain to be anything other than celebrating diversity. And I think,
please hold.
I keep hearing so much of the it's a festival for one side of the community. It's not. I think that's not the issue here. We need to look at how we actually invest in our arts.
Let's see what we think this morning. Our callers think this morning. Elaine and Carrickfergus. Morning, Elaine.
Hello.
Go ahead, Elaine.
I just wanted to speak to the Labour guy. My son goes to Belfast Community Circus School, which is forever getting its funding cut, and they perform at Festival of Fools, which our circus school set up. And it is one of those things that you said in Customs Square has the fire jugglers and no context. And that's an absolute terrible thing to say. Local kids perform at it, local acts perform at it. It brings international acts that we wouldn't have a chance to see.
So you took offence at Phil describing it as for fire jugglers?
It was Chris, wasn't it?
Phil?
No, it was me, flippant comment, yes. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I totally agree with you. Your funding of that circus group should not be cut. We should be funding groups like this. But what I'm saying is, when a festival is developed, it should have legacy. It should have, you know, it should be an ongoing part of the city, not something that's just, you know, dropped in, disappears again. And that's what the West Belfast Festival, that's what's made it so successful. It has a legacy, an ongoing legacy that continues and develops. Now,
as does Festival of Fools, which has to raise money every year to keep itself going the next time.
How much does the West Belfast Festival get, Shan? Can you tell us?
Should be able to raise some of its own money and not ask for so much by now if it's been going for 30 years.
Shan, can you tell us what the West Belfast Festival got last year, Fela?
So I think, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think it was something along the lines of £380,000 from the council.
And that's by far more than anyone else, is it?
I believe so.
It's much more. Stephen, can I say that the argument here is not that we're going off on tangents a little bit. It's all about getting balance. We have to ensure that the one big festival doesn't gobble up so much money that the smaller events and smaller festival organisations that are working in the
absolutely
time going get enough funding.
But it also puts more emphasis, doesn't it? That 300 odd grand, whatever it is that the Fela got last year and will presumably get this year, it puts even more emphasis on the fact that 300 odd grand, you know, that is cross-community money. That's everyone's taxes. So how cross-community is the West Belfast Festival?
Well, Stephen, that is the other issue, of course. I mean, like, irrespective of what anybody says, it is, as Phil says, it's rooted in West Belfast. It's overwhelmingly regarded as a nationalist festival. Now, I've no problem with funding nationalist or unionist festivals per se, but I want to make sure the balance is correct, and I want to make sure that smaller groups get the funding. The alternative is, as Phil says, about the size of the pot, he's quite right. The alternative is very simple. Increase the rates in Belfast City Council. Increase the rates at the ratepayers. This is not my money or your money, Stephen. This is the ratepayers' money. And then increase the rates to do that sort of thing. But, I mean, we're trying to struggle.
Well, why would that be the only option, Chris?
Well, that's the only way that City Council can get money.
Yeah, we have a political class. Chris, we have a political class in this country that was pitching the future on dropping corporation tax for the wealthiest corporations to come in, which would have been, the tab would have been picked up by public sector workers or public services being cut, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
The only answer to funding things isn't to ask the people to pay more. It's to be asked the right.
Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Go ahead, John.
Right, Steve. I see the West Belfast Festival more as an investment rather than a drain on the public purse, because the amount of money that is generated by the West Belfast Festival, and on the other hand, the Orange Order, when they have their parades, the amount of money they would get and that they would generate for Belfast as well. So if you put those two groups together, the amount of money that Belfast would make out of them would probably be enough to pay for the rest of the festivals and art functions that's going on in Belfast.
John, thank you. Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Stephen.
You know, just, you know, someone who's living in Derry here and sees the benefits of the Clipper Festivals that's been here for a few years now coming to the city, and the amount of money that the council invests in that festival, it brings so much of a feel-good factor to the city, so much benefit in terms of footfall because there's thousands and thousands of people who come here. And I think that Chris's argument that, you know, some events in the West Belfast Festival is there to take the bad look off a festival when it's all-inclusive, I think that's a very narrow-minded approach to the argument. The argument is that these festivals are, you know, they're so important to the actual communities. The community starts getting ready for the next festival as soon as the festival finishes. And I think that it's a wee bit churlish for Chris to come on and argue that the money should be spread more evenly when other festivals aren't as important. And that's just the way it is, as the one in West Belfast.
And Daniel in West Belfast. Morning, Daniel.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, the West Belfast Festival was created from a place called Spring Hill Avenue, the Spring Hill Festival. And the reason that the local people in Spring Hill created its own music and its own festival was to stop children going up the top of Spring Hill Avenue and ratting during the summer period with Spring Martin. It was this, it brought peace to that area. It stopped people lighting bonfires on waste ground. It made the waste grounds, cordoned it off, and everybody had a festival.
How many years ago was that, Daniel?
Sorry?
How many years ago was that?
That was 30 years ago. That's when I was only 16. I worked on it. I worked on putting the fencing up. We were only kids. And we done that shows. We painted all the houses in the area. And what happened was, that was designed, and people in Sinn Féin seen how well it worked. And they brought that festival from Spring Hill, and they grew it for the whole of West Belfast because they saw that in every area you brought a festival to, you stopped the bonfires. And you brought good behaviour over the August period. You reduced half the 2 months of the summer period, people ratted.
That is fantastic, Daniel, right?
Yeah.
And clearly it is. Yeah. But it's grown now. And when you get bigger, it's just a fact of life that there is more accountability because it's got more funding, there's more scrutiny on it, and maybe, you know, and things have changed.
Yes, so I understand that, Stephen, but the man's trying to tell you about the historical cultural background of it. It was brought in for peaceful reasons. The peace process came along and strengthened it, and everybody wanted to do things that was right. West Belfast was a changing community. People didn't want any more trouble. They just wanted peace. And the festival reflected that. Nobody wanted bonfires anymore. So see, when these clowns light bonfires in West Belfast, the whole of the community wants them stopped.
If it's so big, does it not have major sponsors now?
Yes, it does. It has all that.
So why does it need 300 odd grand of our money?
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's something that the council has to sort out. I respect that, right? That's up to them to sort that out.
What do you mean by that, up to them to sort it out? What do you mean?
Yes, everybody has to sort it out in the council. That's up to them. But you have to listen to the point of view of that man standing there. It's not about Protestant and Catholic. It's about the ethos of the West Belfast Festival was to bring peace to the community. Yeah. It's
Stephen,
part of a changing phase.
Can I add to that? Because that caller has summed up with much more clarity than I could the point I'm trying to make. And isn't it a brilliant thing that 30 years on, the debate on this show is about 200 grand for a community-based festival, which everyone across all sides of the sectarian divide sees as a success.
Do you know what?
Instead of talking about the cost of policing, stopping rioting, murder...
Yeah, it has saved millions.
So what's your concern then, Sian? I'm slightly embarrassed that I don't know more about the festival, right?
You should go, Steve.
No, I hold my hand up. I should probably go to more of that West Belfast Festival, see what it's like, experience it for myself. So having heard all of these people supporting what the festival has achieved, Sian, what's your problem with it?
My problem is not with the festival. We've been saying this over and over again. Nobody is negating the impact that the festival itself has. We're losing sight of the bigger picture. What we're asking for is, number one, is this an open and transparent process? Is there an application process? Is there a criteria? Number two, is it fair? Does every single event, organisation, festival have a chance to apply for money to grow and to get to the size and scale of Fela? And third, as a councillor, I believe I have a duty to the ratepayers of Belfast to make sure their money is being spent effectively. Are we investing in the arts and cultural sector in Belfast in a way that's actually going to grow it rather than...
Even can I say one more thing?
For bigger festivals as they go along.
Hold on one second. So Fela got 100 grand from the bonfire diversion scheme last year. and they're set to get more from it this year. $100,000 from a bonfire diversion scheme. What's that all about?
Which at the time, we called out against that, and there has been...
Hold on, Daniel. Shan, what's that all about?
There's been an investigation into that bonfire scheme. The Northern Ireland Audit Office came back with recommendations and said that there were problems with it. There was a lack of transparency, there was a lack of openness, and there was a lack of application process. Now, again, I am not negating that anyone who received money from that fund doesn't do great work. That's not what we're saying, but we have to look at the bigger picture. Is this a clear and open way to spend ratepayers' money, and are we investing in culture and arts in a way that's actually going to grow?
So, Kelly, but
and right now, I don't believe we are.
Is there such a problem with bonfires in West Belfast that it merits $100,000 to divert from them?
Look, I'd be very, very suspicious of those kind of schemes, and I know the intent behind them may be good, and there's lots, you know, your show and many others have covered SIF funding and stuff, and we know that there may be good intent behind those projects, but there's huge problems. And I go back to the point where I agree with the Alliance contributor there. We absolutely, in this society, need transparency and openness. It's a major step forward we need to take as a society where taxpayers can see where their money is being allocated and what the result of that allocation of money is. I'm fully behind that. And as the caller said, I don't know his name, there's
Daniel.
No real appetite for bonfires in West Belfast. You know, and bonfires are a scourge. They cause social problems, they cause damage. You know, nobody...
They can't really stand up for that and the environmental impact.
So, I'd be hugely sceptical of money being funded that way. So transparency, yes, absolutely.
You say bonfires are a scourge. To some people, it's part of their culture and their heritage, and they want it respected as much as anything else. Billy in Belfast. Morning, Billy.
Good morning, Stephen. I lived in Belfast, West Belfast, for the first 20 years of my life. In fact, I know your area very, very well, where you came from. I went to a little school called Fourth River.
Did you?
So I'm just establishing that first from what I'm about to say.
Fourth River? The Ballygamartin Road beside...
I used to walk through Woodfield Park the whole way up to Fourth River. Glen Cairn in those days, there was no estates.
I played football in Woodfield Park.
Boyhood adventure place, so it was.
I was going to say beside O'Hara's the Bakery. O'Hara's the Bakery hasn't been there for about 20 years, I'm sure. It's gone.
Oh, I haven't been up that way a long time, Stephen, long time. But anyway, I think there's a strong possibility that West Belfast contributes less tax money or ratepayers' money than any other part of Belfast.
Why are you saying that?
Because I believe it's true.
What do you mean, believe it's true? You'd want to, before starting to say that type of malarkey, you'd want to have some type of research behind it, wouldn't you?
I know what's going on well. And the West Belfast Festival... it's a disgrace if they get the money so much and all our places are deprived. And no matter what the good intentions of it were, the fact is it has been hijacked. There is Republican flags and all sorts of things and shouts and chants. Have you ever actually been to one to see it?
I have a sneaking feeling I might have years ago hosted or chaired some event up there at one of those festivals. But my memory's
sure,
that shot.
Orange Order or anything like that?
My memory's that shot now. I can't remember yesterday. I think I maybe, you know, you chair one of these discussion things. They haven't asked me recently, but I think
I went to Fourth River, Stephen. Over
anyway, what's your point? Never mind what I did.
It doesn't really matter. But I mean, you'd know more about it if you actually went and attended one and seen what was going on, how the money was being spent.
You see, I guess the only problem some people might have with you, Billy, is you're very much positioning that festival as them and us, where it is attempting, you know, there's some texts and emails coming into me here saying, look, it is a cross-community event. Young people, for example, travel from all over Northern Ireland to it. This $100,000 for the bonfire diversion scheme, I'm really interested in. Diverting from what? Diverting from what bonfires?
Oh, I agree with you entirely. I think there should be a much more transparent where a lot of this money goes from.
But you could look at it that they're so successful that there aren't any bonfires anymore.
You're still a taxpayer. You're a taxpayer, Stephen. You pay your tax and you don't use...
Am I a taxpayer? Are you for real?
You don't use financial havens or anything? Or
hundreds of thousands of pounds of a taxpayer I am. Don't start winding me up at this time of the morning.
I wouldn't wind you up, Stephen. I just thought money were your money, like most of the people that get a lot of money like yourself. They usually find wee tax shelters and tax havens and pay about a far less money than the ordinary working man does, you know. But if you pay the whole the same as an ordinary working man, then you're entitled to say that you speak for the working man.
I am a working man. What do you think I am? A non-working woman. I am a working man. That's what I do. I get up in the morning and I work.
Well, so is a management director.
Even the money that goes to
he's not.
He's trying to wipe me up. That's what he's doing. He's trying to wipe me up and he's winning.